The title of my sermon today is, for those of you that write things down, an investment plan. And how appropriate would it be for me to talk about investments? Well, it's not really an investment plan that you think that I'm going to talk about, but it does make sense once we go through this. And because it's the end of the year, it's the 30th of January, so we're there, we're almost done with 2012. And I'd like you to go through your own you know, your own resolutions that you have made for 2012. You only know what they were, and only you know what you wanted to accomplish 2012. And as you're writing your resolutions for 2013, a lot of people are now in that stage where they're just writing, preparing. What should I do for in next year? The top three resolutions that people put on the paper that I actually had myself starting 2012 were this. Number one, spend more time with my family and my friends. Number two was get fit, more fitness, lose some weight. Not that I have anything to lose, but I should probably think about working out more. And number three was finances. It was pay off my debt, you know, make good investment plan and all that stuff. So these are the top three things that people usually strive for in, well, there's a couple more on there you can actually see. Drink less. Quit smoking. Hopefully you guys are not doing that. Drinking more water, well, that's healthy. Pay off credit cards. And these are just stuff that people write and they want to accomplish in a new year. But how many things have we written down for 2012 and we have actually accomplished? Now you don't have to raise your hand, but just ask yourself, did you guys actually accomplish what you wanted to do in 2012? Well, for myself, I don't think we tried. We were almost there, but then we went down again. There's a couple of things that we needed to work out, but you know, it's a work in progress. But as we make a resolution for 2013, I'd like you to start fresh, scratching all of this. This is all good, it's fine, but there's something that's far more important than this. There's a story in Luke 19, verses 11 through 27 that we'll go through. But it was a story about minas. It was something that Jesus shared with his disciples with the crowd before he entered Jerusalem. And this is one of his last parables before he went into persecution and dying for our sins, entering Jerusalem. But there was a confusion in between people. They were talking about, you know, Jesus has been speaking about kingdom of God for the whole this time that he's been doing the ministry. So finally he's approaching Jerusalem, so they know that, you know, now that he's come to Jerusalem, now the kingdom of God will be will be present. He's going to make himself a king. He's going to deliver Jewish nation from Rome Empire and all that stuff. And everybody, there was a confusion that people had, and he actually shared this parable to clear that off, but also to put something else on mind of the people that were there listening. He was a king, and he always talked about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is coming, but it's not here yet. Now, we as a church today, we are part of his kingdom because we have accepted him to be our king. We accepted him to be our savior. Therefore, as we learn about Jesus being our king, I'd like you to think about your own life, your own finances, your own investments that you've made. Maybe it was a retirement plan, a college fund, whatever investment that you could possibly make. This is a good time to reflect and to think about this stuff. But let's go into the parable that I'd like to read. It's Luke 19, 11 through 27. It's a bit longer, but we'll get through it. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. So they thought that the kingdom of God will just happen as soon as he enters Jerusalem. But therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was It was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded his servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, "Master, your mina has earned 10 minas." And he said to him, "Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities." And the second came, saying, "Master, your mina has earned 5 minas." Likewise, he said to him, "You also be over 5 cities." Then another came, saying, Master, here's your mina, which I've kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you were an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow." And he said to him, "Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected at least with interest?" And he said to those who stood by, "Take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas." But they said to him, "Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has been will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me." Very simple parable. Yet there is a lot of good eternal value meaning in this. A few things I'd like you to note. You know, Jesus has left, as for those of you that haven't figured out, in this story, Jesus is the master, and he's leaving for a period of time, this earth. Therefore, he's going to die, he's going to raise again, he's going to leave. And for this period of time, he's left us, his servants, with something. He's left us to do something for him, for his kingdom. To do his business, the business of the kingdom. Know that each servant was given an equal amount, which was 1 mina. And, you know, we all have an equal amount of different things that God is giving us. But remember, a parable is a heavenly truth that puts things into this earthly context, and it symbolizes something that's valuable. So the mina represented something that was really valuable to the Lord, to Jesus, to the master. Now, some of you don't know what mina was back in the day. Well, it was a single coin that was about the size of a penny that we have nowadays, maybe a little bit bigger. It was a single coin that was worth about three months of wages, a salary. So imagine 3 months come by and you get a little coin. That was your salary. It was every 3 months. And, well, we don't really get much different. We get the paper, it's check, right? But it's just the paper. So it's not much different than back then. But equivalent to the time we live in with our economy in Canada, we would probably assume that this was about $10,000. It was 1 mina was worth about $10,000. So master left everybody with $10,000. Imagine if somebody gave you $10,000. What would you do with it? And understanding that what this mina represents is not only the key to understanding the point of the parable, but also what minas really have to do with our mission work in the kingdom of God, and what does it have to do with you and me personally. You can basically refer mina to anything. It could be a financial thing. It could be money. In this story, it is money. But I believe that mina is our Christian life as a whole. It's our time, our talents, our gifts, our resources, our treasure, everything. That's what I believe it is. And we have been commanded to go and use the resources that God is giving us for the benefit of the kingdom. On the other hand, we have those people that refuse to accept Jesus, and this is what we find in the story as well. There's some people that did not want Jesus to be their king. They refused him. Therefore, in the very end of the parable, they were perished. They actually ended up going to hell because they just refused Jesus, you know, as a whole. And in verse 16, and you notice, Jesus was individually actually going through men as individually. So he wasn't collectively going through servants. He was actually taking one servant and asking, what did you do with your mina? And in verse 16, we learned that the first servant had one mina, but while his master was gone, while Jesus was gone, he reported a ten minas more, which is quite a dramatic increase. It's a tenfold increase that he has made. And certainly I'd like you to find me a good fund out there that I can give you actually this much back. If you probably knew about a bank or an investment firm that you can put your money and get tenfold, let me know, because I don't know about it yet. But this guy certainly did a really good job. The master was really impressed, and he told him, well done, good servant. And then not only does he receive a commendation, not only does he receive words of praise, but he also receives something else. He receives authority over 10 cities. And we all know that three months of wages is nothing to a city of Kitchener that we receive. But because this servant was faithful in a small thing, he was giving responsibility over something that was much greater. In the same way, what God is giving us, our money, time, resources, treasure, everything that we have, is nothing compared to the wonderful things that he's giving us in eternity. But we will only get it if we prove in the end faithful to what he has given us now. Every Christian, every church, we all have something to give. We all have something to do for the kingdom. If you just put yourself in a situation that in a parable, if you have some money that's just there for you to use, what would you do? Would you go out to a good bank, good investment firm, good mortgage company or retirement account, whatever it is? Would you go out to them and give him your money and say, hey, I want to, on the best return, you probably can't get more than 1% or 2% nowadays, but let's say you can get, you're expecting a lot, and you go out and you put your money there, and all of a sudden, down the road, you realize that your money was mismanaged, that it was not used properly, that someone did something to it, and something happened, and you didn't lose the money. The money's still there, but basically, it did not make anything for you. Would you not be disappointed if as a young guy, you go, you take your money, and you put it in a retirement fund, and you get old, you turn about 60, is it 60 that you get retired? You turn about 60, 55, it doesn't matter, and you all of a sudden, you go to your retirement fund, and you find out there's nothing there. The money that you put in there didn't make anything. Would you be really, really upset and mad? Of course you would. Well, Jesus tells us to view our lives as investors, to make the greatest investment plan. We only have so many hours and so many dollars and so many opportunities to use them for the kingdom of God. But the one thing is for sure, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming back. Whether he comes back or whether we die before we meet him, we're going to meet him one day. And the question is, what kind of an account are we going to give back to our God, Lord Jesus, our Master? Are we going to say, well, God, you know, well, maybe some of us are actually going to show up and say, God, here's, I've made tenfold investment that you've given me. How do we steward our life? How do we, our talents, treasures that he has entrusted us, what do we use it for? He will put our life into our account, into examination, and he will judge us. We will be judged. And the same thing that we all want to hear from Lord Jesus in the last days: well done, good and faithful servant. You've done well for yourself. You took the money I gave you, the days I trusted you, the gifts, the talents, the treasures, everything that you've had. You've made a really good use of it for my kingdom. And there's a couple other principles that Jesus is teaching here. And one of the main ones would be about leadership and how everything in life, that whenever we want to get somewhere, if we want to be something big, we always have to start small. See, these servants started small, like the one that gave a tenfold return. He started very small. He started only with one mina. All of a sudden, he became governor of 10 cities because he was faithful with that small thing that Jesus entrusted him. And that's life. You know, God gives us a small opportunity and we use it to the most. God gives us another opportunity and we use that opportunity to make most of it. And then all of a sudden, your Christian life, you just progress, you just keep making progress, and you're giving a good return on the investment. God will give you an opportunity. God gave us an opportunity. God is giving us opportunities every single day. Now the question is, are we using them? And this is what life is. It's an ongoing opportunities and lessons, sometimes successes, sometimes failures. But are we proving ourselves faithful to God? Are we faithful with these little things that God has entrusted us with? We are to be busy while Jesus is not visibly present with us. In those days, certain slaves, they were to act on behalf of their masters. When the master would go away, the slaves would use the resources and they would, you know, do stuff with it. It's the same way with us today. You know, the master has left. He's left us with something. We are to use it for the kingdom of God. And it's not ours. And sometimes we make mistake as people. We make mistake and say, well, it's my house, it's my money, it's my time, it's my resources. No, it's not ours. God is giving us this. He's giving us this to use for his kingdom. Therefore, you can come and say, well, you know, this mina that you've given me, God, it was mine. I can do whatever I want with it. No, you can't. Because you're going to give an account for it. God is going to ask you, what did you do with all these things that I've given you for my kingdom? There's also a second servant that came. He said, Lord, your mina has made five minas. And then he said to him, you are to rule over five cities. He didn't even mention the first one. He just said, sure, fine, you did a great job. Here's five cities. I took your $10,000 and I turned it into $50,000. Again, that was a great job. That was a really, really good steward. And as you notice, the king, Jesus, he's not really concerned about the amount that they have earned. There's no really a difference. He was only concerned with faithfulness of those servants, whether they were faithful, whether they did something, at least something, whether they were trustworthy, whether they were faithful. In an NIV version, that trustworthy, if you go in a Greek language, it means worthy of belief or trust. Faithful, dependable. And let me just remind you, not everybody that cousins of Christian does enter the kingdom of heaven. There will be differing, and there will be even some various, there's be different rewards for all of us when we end up in heaven. That's what we believe. We believe that we live this life, we will die. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to go to heaven. But there will be different rewards for each one of us. Maybe some of us, Maybe we've just brought one friend to church. Maybe we've just brought not to church necessarily, to the salvation, and that friend brought another thousands of people. We don't know this. But we will have a reward. We will have an eternal reward. Jesus here is talking about investing your life and getting a good return on your investment, but not an earthly investment. Not an investment that we make now and we try to trade and make money here and there. No, not that kind of investment. An eternal investment, something that's going to last forever. Whatever we do here on earth does count for eternity. Everything that we do here on earth. That's exactly what Jesus did. He, on his entrance into Jerusalem, he was going to Jerusalem. He knew that he was going to die, and he knew that he was going to be crucified, but he knew what he was doing. He was making a good investment for us, for our lives. So Jesus is teaching us here in this parable not to waste our life. And yet, yes, some of us right now, even sitting here, maybe we're thinking, yes, but well, I go to church on Sundays and I do this and I do that and call yourself a Christian. But are you actually doing something for the kingdom? Are you actually using what God has given you for the kingdom to expand the kingdom? Jesus is our king. And in his kingdom, he wants our lives to count. He wants our lives to make a difference. He wants our lives to be a good investment. We are to make our life count for God. We are to do something, at least something. He has left us to do his business, the business of kingdom. And most Christians simply, they don't do anything. And unfortunately, in a story, in a parable, if you read this, the third servant, he didn't do much. He had exactly the same thing that the other two guys had. But you know what he decided to do? He just decided to put it away, forget about it. I'm just going to play it safe. I'm not going to risk anything. I'm just going to do whatever until he returns. Don't worry about it. But I hate to say it, but, you know, he didn't really do a good job. He didn't do anything. He gave $10,000 that he received. He gave it back and said, well, here it is. I didn't do anything with it. You're a severe man. And he was actually blaming the investor. You say, well, you're a hard man. You're this and that. I thought you were going to, you know. But no, God is. Jesus Christ is actually merciful. He actually loves us. He actually wants us all to do something. He actually wants each and every one of us to make a good return on investment that he's giving us. And as I mentioned, sometimes sin is not doing anything at all. It's one of the biggest sins. And if you read in James 4:17, he says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it's a sin. You know, and we know to do good. We know what we're supposed to do. We know what we're supposed to do even for God. We know that we're supposed to be preaching the gospel. We know that we're supposed to be using our finances for the kingdom of God. We know all these things, but yet we don't do it. And my question to you would be this. Is this essentially what we have done with our Christian life and our faith? Well, I go to church sometimes, I do this sometimes, I don't really do that, you know, I'm just an average Christian, I'm just a Christian, I don't do much, I really don't give, I really don't serve much, I don't really think I can be used that much. Maybe you even sound spiritual, maybe you say, well, I have a personal relationship with Jesus, and that's all good, that's all great, we are all to do that, but are we actually doing something for the kingdom? Is a question. Is our life in a handkerchief doing nothing? Did we just put it in a drawer? Our gifts and our talents and resources? And think of this. Think of someone, you're taking the money, getting an inheritance from someone, and putting it in a handkerchief, just going home, wrapping it up, and leaving it, putting it aside. Is that what you would actually do with an inheritance that you received? Or you would actually, smart people would do, they would actually take this money and invest it well and make more money on it, right? That's the generation that we live in today. But Jesus Christ has died. He was buried. He rose again for us. He's done everything that he could possibly do with his life. He's giving us his Holy Spirit. He's giving us the good news of the gospel. He's giving us the gifts and talents and everything. Now, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with those opportunities he is giving us? And I'd encourage some of you that to start with at least something. Start with anything. If you've never served, if you've never done anything in the church, if you've never did anything for anybody yet, well, start with something. Start doing something. Start being faithful. Because what? Because if you're faithful in those little things, God will entrust you with more things and he will give you more opportunities. The goal is to be faithful and to get started as soon as possible. The longer we'll wait, the worse it will get. Now, as Jesus is summarizing this in Luke, with the last servant, he's saying, take this mina away from him and give it to the one that has 10 minas. And then everybody else, the crowd goes, well, that's not right. Why would he do that? This guy already has 10 minas. Why? Well, would you ever give your money to someone? You put all the portfolios, you have the portfolios there, and you see someone that's making the least money. Would you ever put your money there? Or would you actually look for someone who has the best return on investment and you would actually shift all your money over here? Well, that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He's saying, well, if he's not faithful even in this little thing that I've given him and trusted him with, then he's not. I'm just going to give it to the guy that's giving me the most return. It's not maybe fair, but definitely is wise, and it's something that we would do as well. It's like someone running our own retirement account. We would definitely shift everything to those people that and those firms that give us the best return. Now that we know that Jesus is coming back, he wants to ask us and probably remind us as we go into a new year, what are we doing? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Your life counts. It's not just, you know, in the Bible and coming to church and knowing the best doctrine and having, you know, it's really about the fruits that you bear and it's really about what you do for the kingdom of God. We are all going to give an account for our whole life. And Jesus is saying that we are to be faithful in the small opportunities, because if we are not faithful in these small ones, he'll never entrust us with big opportunities. And not everybody will go to heaven, as you can see in the parable. Not everyone will go to heaven. There are those that love darkness more. You know, God still has a chance for everybody. He still hasn't gave opportunity to even those who do not believe to come to repentance. But we are all going to, this is the point. We're all going to stand before the Creator God, and we are all going to give an account for our whole life. And just like there's different degrees of rewards for Christians in heaven, there's also different degrees of punishment. But here's the good news. And the good news is that it's never too late to start doing something for the kingdom. I'm not here to scare you or warn you or anything like that. I'm just here to remind you that an investment that you're making into the kingdom does count and will count for eternity. This is a matter of life and death, and God gave us opportunities. But it's all about faithfulness. Just as some of you are faithful to your spouses, to your parents, your boss at work, and just like we know what faithfulness is, being faithful to people. We have people that we are faithful, that we just are really faithful to, and then we have some people that we're not really faithful to. But being faithful to God is all really matters. Giving an account for our life is what really will matter. Just as we're faithful to others, Christ is calling us to be faithful to Him and to His kingdom. You can ask yourself a question: are you faithful? Are you reliable? And are you truthful? Are you disobedient just like the third servant that did not earn anything, that just made an excuse? And do you know what God expects from you? Do you know what? We all know what God expects us to do something for His kingdom. We all know that. God has expectations. He's not just like a person that's sitting there and thinks that we will expect us to do nothing. He actually has expectations for us to do something for His kingdom. Have we been faithful with our Christian life? Have we been faithful with our friends and our family? Have we shared the good news of Jesus whenever we had opportunity? Do people actually know they were Christians at all? With our example of life, and did we ever stand up for Jesus and His truths in the conversation? Are you the best father? Are you the best husband and mother and sister and brother? Are you the best you can possibly be? How faithful are we in sharing that what we have, sharing the good news and sharing God's word and being witnesses and sharing everything that we have for the kingdom? He loves us. God does love us, and He does want us to pass the test. He does not want us to fail. God does not expect us to fail. All that God wants from us is just to do our best, give our best, and do something. Be faithful with where you are and with what you got. God is giving us life. He's giving us everything that we have today. Everything, starting with money, abilities, resources. Everything is at our disposal. Now, how faithful are we in using these gifts that He is giving us to benefit the kingdom? Are we seeking to extend the reach of God's kingdom to more and more people? His values? Do we help those in need? Each of us have been given different things, but you know, we know people. We know people that need money. We know people that need help sometimes. We know people that need Jesus. We know these people. I'm sure we do know a lot of people that need Jesus. And I encourage all of us, and including myself, to consider these gifts that God is giving us, and in obedience to Him, to use them for the benefit of the kingdom. And then we can surely look forward to Him saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And the whole reason why I'm sharing this with you is because, yes, January the 30th, and we are actually entering into a new year, 2013, and some of you have made resolutions, some of you have not made it yet. I actually haven't made mine yet. I'm just about to do that in the next couple of days. But my challenge for you is to make a priority that in 2013, you would do more for God and His kingdom. That you would make an investment plan that has not earthly value, but it has an eternal value. That has a value that will last forever. That's the kind of an investment plan that God wants us to make each and every day. So as I close, as you guys, let's just stand, and as I close in prayer, I'd like you to just think about this stuff, and as you go home, maybe some of you have made, as I said, you've made a resolution plan, and you know what you want to do in next year, but ask yourself, what is it that you can do for the kingdom of God? And I'm sure there's a lot of opportunities in the church itself, in the body of Christ, and maybe you can do something. Maybe you can do a Bible study at your home. Maybe you can do go out and help some people in the street, do something for your neighbor. Maybe you can do whatever you can do. What is it that you can do for the kingdom of God? Ask yourself and put those things down, because that's really important. Once you put them on paper, that's actually going to make you do it. And make that priority for 2013. Everything else is fine. You know, you'll work towards, you're going to work out, you're going to pay off your debt, and that's all fine. But that's all really what is not important. It really doesn't matter. You can have everything paid off. You can have the slimmest body in the world. And you can have everything that you can possibly have. But if you don't have God, you have nothing. So therefore, let's make that priority. Father God, we surrender to you this morning, and we just ask that you would, as you made us aware, Father God, of the fact that you've given us something, you've entrusted us this life and these gifts and talents, Father God, I pray that you would really help us to use these things and all that you've given us, Father. All that you've given us, Father, that you would use it for your kingdom, Jesus, for that we would have an eternal value, Father, that when we leave this earth, that if we are to leave this earth soon, Father, that we would know that we have a good account for you, Father. We do not want to be like a lazy servant, not giving anything back to you, Father God, but we do want to serve in your kingdom. We do want to do things for your kingdom. So we pray, Father God, that you would make us, Father God, yours. Make us, Father God, humble. And so that we can make our priorities straight, Father God. You are number one priority in this life. Nothing else matters. So we make you, Father God. We make you number one in our life. We make your kingdom number one in our life. Amen. As you go home, just remember this. Whatever you do today counts for eternity. And whatever you do for your neighbors also counts for eternity. May God bless you. Have a happy new year, and see you next week.